Well, last week we spoke with Dr. Gregory Liptak about an observational study of children with autism. Little did we know that a controversy would be sparked this week about something that is autism-related, so we've contacted Dr. Liptak again. Good morning, Dr. Liptak.
Good morning.
If you'll bear with me for just a moment, I want to set the stage for our listeners. This is a case of medical research, parent opinions, TV fiction, and follow the money. Many years ago, an explanation for autism was suggested. The suggestion was that autism might be connected to a preservative called thimerosal, which is an ingredient found in childhood vaccines, first used in the 1920s, and it's mercury-based. Subsequent research has shown that no correlation exists, but that hasn't stopped many large groups of parents and some autism experts from believing in that correlation. The debate continues, and it's often heated. Enter ABC TV and a new show called Eli Stone, which aired Thursday night this week. Eli Stone is an attorney with some baggage, but the story revolved around the case with a child with autism and a lawsuit they brought against the vaccine manufacturer, presumably because they assert the vaccine caused the child's autism. There's been a great deal of controversy surrounding the TV show. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics jumped into the fray prior to the airing of the show, asking ABC not to broadcast it. There are a number of issues, and it raises many questions, of course, about information, responsibility, fiction, and reality, and it made perfect sense for us to get back in touch with Dr. Liptak for some perspective. So, good morning, Dr. Liptak, again. Let's begin with those facts about vaccines. Tell me about that connection between thimerosal and autism, or lack of connection, I guess.
There are many children who subsequently develop autism who seem to develop normally, and then sometime between 12 and 18 months regress. That's the same time that many vaccines, especially the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, are given. And there are some parallels between mercury toxicity and autism. So some people have argued that the thimerosal, which has been used in vaccines as a preservative since the 1930s, is somehow related to autism. In fact, there are some physicians who will actually do what's called chelation to try to get rid of heavy metals, including mercury, and people who have autism.
Now, this thimerosal, it's no longer in vaccines, right? So children being vaccinated today would not be getting a dose of that.
That's correct, except for some batches of influenza vaccine. Thimerosal is no longer used in any of the common pediatric vaccines.
It's not. How did they figure out that it was not related? What kinds of research were done?
There are two large studies done in Europe, and in fact, this September, a study of over 1,000 children in the New England Journal of Medicine was published, and they looked at exposure to various levels of mercury and found that there is no correlation with developmental outcome.
No correlation at all.
No.
Then all of those groups, and I know there are some large parent groups, and I know there are professionals, they still believe that that connection exists. What are they hanging their hats on?
Well, autism is such a devastating condition, and we don't know what causes it, that people want to find a cause. And thimerosal is one possibility, and so people tend to cling to that particular idea.
And then the question is raised, if they've taken this thimerosal out of the vaccines, has there been a decrease in the number of children who develop autism with vaccinations?
No, in fact, there continues to be a slow increase in the number of children with autism.
So once again, that seems to prove that the correlation does not exist. Now, I know the American Academy of Pediatrics, the letter they sent to ABC, they asked ABC not to air this Eli Stone, this new show, and they said it was because they were afraid parents would decide not to get their children vaccinated. That's a real concern, isn't it?
Absolutely. Vaccines are the most effective public health intervention that's ever been developed. I've seen children die from measles. I've seen them develop encephalitis from mumps. I've seen babies born with congenital rubella syndrome. Those are really horrible diseases, and vaccines have eliminated those, at least in Europe and North America.
They have. So it just seems like it makes perfect sense to get those vaccinations, although you can see why parents would at least take pause.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the TV show a little bit. Do you agree that they should have pulled the plug on Thursday night's episode?
I don't. I happen to be a big fan of Thomas Jefferson, and I believe that people have the right to see these kinds of shows. And I also think that airing this and having controversy makes people talk about it, and it makes them more informed.
And I would tend to agree with you. I have to think that any parent with a child who's been newly diagnosed, or even just a child at all and a new baby, they're going to hear something like this, and then they're going to research the heck out of it. They're going to see what they can learn, and they'll learn about both camps of beliefs, won't they?
Yes.
But the one thing I do think also is that there's a follow the money aspect to all of this, and it may go back to the pharmaceutical companies, although they're always the first ones we want to blame. I do know that the maker of thimerosal is Eli Lilly, and GlaxoSmithKline and Sanofi Aventis make most of the vaccines that children are given these days, and they spend a lot of advertising money with ABC, don't they?
They do. On the other hand, while we're following money, it's very expensive to take care of a child who has autism. And the potential for earnings for adults who have autism is very limited. And so parents would like to have some of that money to help care for these individuals.
Well, and that would make perfect sense. And so if the parents can find something or someone to blame, then they can perhaps turn around and, just like in Eli Stone, they follow these lawsuits, and that might make up part of the difference. But I still have to think it's very heartbreaking to have this problem to deal with.
Oh, absolutely. And who knows how jurors are going to react in the particular show. The family was awarded $5.2 million. That can be a very expensive proposition.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Greg Liptak, thank you so much for helping us understand this controversy a little bit better. Will you be watching Eli Stone again?
Absolutely.
Very good. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. My secret contribution to Super Bowl success, or a winning mantra: I'm just a giant blob of protoplasm, om. Super Bowl today. Millions of us will see the New England Patriots and the New York Giants smash it out and wonder how to make it go my way. The other day, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady walks into my office and says, "Dr. Neckup, I'm so scared I can't go out on the field Sunday. In practice, every time I drop back to pass, I crank scary thoughts. I'm going to get sacked. What if I throw it behind Moss and he can't pull it in? What if I fumble? What if Giants quarterback Eli makes me look like a wimp? What will the coach and the players and the millions of viewers think of me?" Okay, listeners, now you've got 10 seconds to get a pen and paper. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bzzz, delay of game. 5-yard penalty. Now, draw a line down the middle of the page. To the right of this center line, put a column of 11 circles down the page and matching X's just over the line on the left. From far left to far right across the top, draw an arrow pointing to where you write goal line on the right. Got it? Line down the middle, arrow across the top pointing to goal line on the right. 25 years as a psychologist, yikes, boils down to this diagram. On the left is our offense. The things we think and do that jolt us, juice us, put the mo in the mojo, get us slamming across the line to our goals. On the right, the defense. All the thinks and do's that push us back, drag us down, run us off the field, put out the fire in the belly, Smokey the Bear. To move our line of scrimmage, all we got to do is pound one, maybe two of those defenders into the ground, and we could go all the way. Now, what are they? And how do we get rid of them? Since I'm not getting paid by the hour here, rather than let you figure it out yourselves, I'm going to give you a giant hint. The main human problem is we take everything much too personally. Like Mr. Brady the other day, we worry about bad things that might happen to me, and lose our vision of the field as a whole and what troublesome defender we gotta squash to blast our arrow through the hole to the goal. Solution? My new stop taking life so personally mantra. I'm just a big blob of protoplasm, om. Stop worrying about a future I can't predict and what I'm mind reading other people might be thinking of me, and start solving problems with my team in the present instead. Om. Try it. Gobs of research says meditation like this works. Given this, what I said to the Patriots, Mr. Brady, may surprise you too. I'm really sorry to tell you this, Mr. Brady, but I think you're right. All those terrible things you're thinking are going to come true. All those amazing things you've done have been a delusional mirage. You're going to be personally responsible for the most humiliating loss in Super Bowl history. If I'm you, I wouldn't even go out on the field. Well, dear listeners, this is Dr. Rich O'Neill coming to you from Syracuse's Upstate Medical University of the State University of New York. New York. Go, New York Giants! I did all I can do. It's up to you now, Eli and company. Go! Om.